Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580. It's our morning talk program. My name's David Inge. Glad to have you with us. We're getting a little bit of a late start this morning, but better late than never. And we're pleased to have you here on the program once again, the man we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore. And for a long time now, on the first Wednesday, he's been stopping by and we would talk about food and cooking and exchange stories and recipes. And we always have a good time. And he picks the topic. So the other day he comes in and he says, I would like to talk about congealed salad. Now, and I'm sure that people hearing that, there will be one of two reactions. Either they will say, congealed salad. You know, I haven't had one of those in a month of Sundays. And then the other people will say, what? What is that? So whichever group you fall into, we got a show here for you this morning. We'll have some recipes. Maybe you would have a recipe to share with us, or maybe a story about, you know, how when you were a kid, your mom made it, or your grandma made it, or your aunt made it, or whatever. And maybe we'll introduce you to something new, because I think one of the things that Doyle felt was that that it was something that could be a candidate for revival if you've never had it or if you've not had it in a long time. 333-9455 is the number, as always, to call. That's for Champaign Urbana folks. We do also have a toll-free line, and that's good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. So now, what started you thinking about congealed salad?
Well, I've always wondered about it. It does exist. It exists mostly in the South, mm-hmm. and we have some connections with folks in Baton Rouge and such, and we're always laughing about the congealed salad that somebody has to bring. But during the Christmas holidays, I went to a dinner, a wonderful little dinner, There were two congealed salads served at the dinner table. And for some reason or other, I thought that they really complemented the rest of the meal better than a leafy green salad would have. And it seemed to be – it wasn't really comforting. It just seemed to be so pleasant. And it was a very complex salad. And I got to thinking about, well, you mean there isn't just Bing cherries and cubes of cheese in a dark purple salad. You know, that's the one that comes to my mind. We laugh about that a lot, but I got to thinking this is really a nice taste. It's an amalgamation, and it seemed to match the dinner. I thought, well, why don't we do that in the winter? I think it's more reasonable to think of a chilled salad than thinking of light baby greens and such things, which are constantly available to us now. But still, it was just a neat treat, because I remember being very confused as a child, because Jell-O was Jell-O. You ate it as Jell-O. We poured cream over our Jell-O at home. But then I was very confused when somebody had suggested putting mayonnaise on Jell-O and sort of tarting up funny little salads with it. And I could never really quite get to that. So I kind of always held back on that idea. But slowly people I always get very suspicious of Jell-O that doesn't have any flavor or coloring. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the major contributions of congealed salad. And I don't know why they took on the gentlemanly name of congealed salad. Well, because they couldn't call it Jell-O salad, because it wasn't Jell-O.
Well, that was – see, and I'm sure that now if people are starting to get the idea of what it is we're talking about, they're going to say, oh, you mean Jell-O salad.
Yes.
And right. And I know from just having read a tiny bit about this that some people, particularly people from the South, will say in response to that question, they'll say, no, I don't mean Jell-O salad. I mean congealed salad.
Yes.
And I guess it is that because – one reason is because that – it's made with gelatin. That's
gelatin,
what holds it together.
Yes, it is.
But that generally congealed salad is made with unflavored gelatin. Is that
some,
right?
No, they're both. They're made with both. I mean, there are Jell-O salads and there are congealed salads. And if you slipped up and put lime jello in the congealed salad, I don't know what you would have. It would be a green congealed salad. You can't be too exacting about this, but it was a matter of propriety and elegance, I think. I think maybe it was to also separate that idea of jello being the dessert taste, uh-huh. and then you use jello, ha ha ha, yes, but you made a salad with it, and that was what was totally different.
Okay. Well, do you give us an example?
So I know that there are people out there who know how to make this dish, and so at the dinner party, I ended the dinner party with a toast to 2009. I said, "More congealed salads." Everybody at the table agreed. I mean, they all enjoyed it. They ate it, and it was quite delicious. And it was not really a surprise. It was just a delight. And I thought, let's don't waste that possibility. Mm-hmm. Then I started looking in my cookbooks, and they were very hard to find. In fact, I have that Jell-O cookbook. There was only one salad that even resembled a congealed salad in the Jell-O cookbook, which I thought was very, very peculiar. Everything else was all dessert. And then I was digging through books, and I found Craig Claiborne's book of Southern cooking. And I thought, yes, there will be something in there. There must be. And he starts his article by saying, "In all the years, I never printed a recipe for commercially packaged fruit-flavored gelatin salad, not until I wrote a nostalgic note about my mother's cooking." So in this big, thick book of Craig Claiborne, he has his mother's 1930s party salad. So see, it was coming on in the early 30s. So it the tradition or the use of it in that manner is at least that old.
Well, would that be around the time that gelatin would have started to become commercially available as a thing that came in a box that you buy it off the shelf?
Well, I think that it existed before, and it existed before as the gelatin dessert, mm-hmm. and people then began to put things into it, and it was the idea. See, in the 30s, that was when we became modern. And so we're going to have new flashy little things to happen. And so you take what's around you and you put it together and you come up with a new concept. Mm-hmm. That's the way I think that it got there. It is the matter that Jell-O. We tried to talk about Jell-O a long time ago. And it's really very much a puzzle. It's very old. I mean, it's not ancient, but Knox gelatin has been around for a long, long, long time. Before Jell-O was made, and then before that, there was the English used calf's foot jelly, which they extract the gelatin from calves' feet, and I don't think pig feet; those are trotters, and that's something else. But the calf's foot jelly was something that people made, and then it was used very much. I mean, gelatins were used very much in preparing a lot of other foods, and you push it over into the aspics and things like that. So all those things were kind of sneaking around the edge. But but I do believe that because it was commercially available, it was readily available. Mm-hmm.
So, well, we're looking for people to tell us about their congealed salad experiences.
I know there's some out there. I want to hear them because I find it rather interesting how some of them have sort of stretched the limits of this idea of this. An awful lot of recipes as I started to tell you, I found a very difficult time in looking up the recipes until I found my Southern cookbook, the one from the Cotton Country collection, which I think is the Junior League of Monroe, Louisiana, put out a major book that every good Southern cook has. Well, there are about 35 recipes for various gelatin salads in that.
Okay. Well, 333-9455 is the number here in Champaign-Urbana. You want to call in, share a story or a recipe with us. So 333-9455. And we do also have that toll-free line, and that is good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. It's the first Wednesday of the month, has been our privilege, habit, tradition for a long time now to do these shows with Doyle Moore, the man we like to call our chef in residence, talking about cooking. And every time around, he picks a particular topic. Something catches his fancy, and he says, okay, here's what we're going to do. And we encourage people to call in and, you know, tell us about their experiences. And I suppose even if, it, you know, it could be, if you have something and you would call it a Jell-O salad, okay.
Okay.
It's okay. You can give us a call. So now, can you, like...
Well, now, another thing that's sort of interesting, yeah. I do not know why, and I've lost the reference that I wanted, but Utah considers itself the Jell-O state, and they have Jell-O, they have Green Jell-O Day in Utah. I'm not exactly certain where. I don't think it's a Salt Lake City activity. But they have made a big issue that they are the representatives of Jell-O. So there is a recipe for Utah's famous green Jell-O salad, which I will impart to you.
Okay.
1 cup of water, 1 6-ounce package of lime gelatin, 1/2 cup of sugar, 2 tablespoons of fresh lemon juice, 1 cup of crushed pineapple, and 2 cups of whipping cream. So that is – now, I think one of the reasons that a lot of people are sort of hesitant about doing this is that, well, you've got all this stuff floating and I don't want it to float. Well, you have to put it in and let it chill and begin to set and then mix things in. Then they will stay suspended inside the gelatin. So this one is to boil the water and put the gelatin in and stir it until the gelatin is dissolved. Then add the lemon juice, stir in the pineapple, refrigerate until syrupy, which means it's just a little bit thicker. Then whip the whipped cream until it's stiff and fold that in and put it in a 9x13 and refrigerate it for several hours. So it is a complex thing. You're not just going to whip it up and it's going to be for lunch. So you have to sort of prepare it. But this one, I've always enjoyed the argument between the clear Jell-O and the Jell-O that's cloudy, because it uses cream and it uses whipped cream and Cool Whip and even sour cream is put into it and it's solidified. So it becomes. It becomes nice and firm, and you cut it and eat it.
And does that – now, I'm sure I have had stuff like this, but it would have been a long, long time ago. Does adding the cream or the whipped cream or that, does that somehow change the consistency of the product? Or is it still kind of – you'd say, well, this is – I know what Jell-O is like, and that's what
it's
like.
Jell-O that is cloudy and white instead of clear. As I say, you know, you think of Jell-O as being that all that
right.
clear, so you can look into that mystic bond that's happening. I'm sorry to be so romantic, but that's just the way I feel about it.
All right. We got some folks getting lined
Good.
Up here. Questions are welcome. Recipes are welcome. 333-9455. Toll free, 800-222-9455. Here's somebody in St. Joe, line number 1. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
Hello there.
Well, I haven't had – I do a lot of Jell-O salads, and I enjoy cooking, as you do. And one of the ones that I remember as a kid was the using colored orange-flavored Jell-O, and you grate carrots and celery and mandarin oranges into
that. Oh, yes.
That. And then you can cover it with these little miniature marshmallows on the top. And then as you and then you put a little dab of mayonnaise on it in squares and serve it on a plate. And it goes along with the meal. And I've always enjoyed that. and it's just so out of vogue now. People look at you like you're crazy.
Well, that's
but I think it's wonderful.
I'm glad, because that's exactly the attitude that I wanted to revive and say, no, this is a reasonable thing. This is not – because it takes time to make it. You can't just be casual about it. And so I'm glad you had it, and I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, basically all it is, you grate the carrots.
Yes, grated. Mm-hmm.
Grated carrots, and you put it into the Jell-O, and you can do what you said, wait a little while until it gets a little bit thicker, and then kind of mix it in a little bit. Or you can just leave it float to the top. It kind of has the...
It selects a layer and becomes... It becomes quite reasonable, you know.
And it layers. It kind of layers itself.
Yes.
And then the whipped cream... Or not whipped cream, I mean the mayo... Just a dab of mayo on the top of it, and then with that celery, the carrots, and the mandarin oranges together, it's just a wonderful flavor.
Well, yes, it is. And you use the orange Jell-O.
Orange Jell-O.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, that's good.
I just wanted to pass that one on.
Well, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. Thanks a lot.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yes,
and I guess I think of these kinds of things as things that would have, in my experience, would have been on the table. At family gatherings,
yes.
Particularly holiday times.
Aunt Shirley always brought the congealed salad.
But
you
it
know?
Was, you know, something like that probably disappeared sometime after about 1965.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Absolutely right.
All right. Well, all right. Let's talk with somebody else here. Champagne, line two.
Good morning.
Yes, hi.
The great granddaddy of all congealed salads appears to be tomato aspic.
Oh, yes.
And my mother, who was a hostess in Washington, made a wonderful one. It called for Campbell's tomato soup.
Soup, yes.
Philadelphia cream cheese, Knox gelatin, of course. And my mother used Knox gelatin plain. She said it was good for the fingernails.
Yes, that's right. that was a prescription at one time, yes.
Kraft mayonnaise, olives. Celery and onion, and
were the olives green or black?
They were green stuffed olives, sliced.
Oh, sliced stuffed olives. Yes.
So that when you had the cube of aspic and cut into it, there were the little pimentos sticking out and the nice celery. It's a wonderful dish. It really is. It's very mellow.
And that started with tomato soup.
Yeah, one can of Campbell's tomato soup.
Yeah. And some cream cheese.
Two small Philadelphia cream cheese,
mm-hmm.
two tablespoons of Knox gelatin dissolved in a half a cup of cold water.
Right.
One cup of Kraft's mayonnaise.
Oh, one cup. Uh-huh.
Yeah, a lot. It made it sort of pink. One small bottle of stuffed olives, cut, sliced. One and one-half cup chopped celery, chopped fine. And a quarter cup of onion, chopped very fine.
Oh, all right, yes, onions, yes. You could grate onions, and that would help, too.
Yeah. You bring the tomato soup to boiling and add the cheese, which is broken up into cubes. Keep on a low fire until all the cheese is dissolved.
Oh.
Remove from the fire and stir in the gelatin that was previously dissolved in the cold water. Then you start to cool it, and when it's partially cooled, you add the mayonnaise, chopped vegetables, and the olives, and then you cool it for several hours. And then cut it in squares. She would cut it in small squares and serve it on lettuce. It was just lovely.
It is good, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's very tasty.
Well, this is the surprise. I mean, see, you've got the celery and the onions, which are and the olives. They're going to add a little bit of flair to it. And then the cream cheese and the soup. You got those mellowing, and these other things add to it. That's really a very nice combination. That's good.
Well, it's in the Congressional Cookbook. She contributed.
Oh, I see. Good.
At least I think it is. I'm working from her recipe. We appreciate your show very much.
No. Thank you very much.
Great. Well, thank you. Well,
the Congressional Cookbook. Well, maybe.
Where else now are you going to get something like that?
I'll say.
Except right here, Focus 580, ladies and gentlemen. This is the show, the time of month, first Wednesday, when we talk about cooking, and we're always happy to have this guy here with us, the man we'd like to call RHF in residence, Doyle Moore. And if you're interested in recipes, I just wanted to mention here, and I think that this is still the case, that we now have two websites going. We have a newer version and we have an older version of the website. And I don't believe that we have gotten the recipes transferred over to the new version yet. But the old version is still there, and that's where all the recipes are. And we are now, thanks to a volunteer who has spent a lot of time transcribing the recipes and making that very nice. They're all there. It's all caught up as recently as the December show, the fruitcake program. And so if you will go to WILL.UIUC.EDU, so that's the old website, go to AM Focus 580 links and click on the recipes, they're there. Because I know that in the past we were kind of behind and we were getting emails from folks saying, gee, I'd really like to have a particular kind of recipe. So if you, as long as you got internet access and you can get to the website, you can get the recipes. So again, that's go to the old website, WILL.UIUC.EDU. They are there. Let me also mention real quick one other thing that we got going here. You may have seen a couple of these programs. We've done these two programs on WILL television, live cooking shows, Mr. Moore and I. We did one in December of, let's see, that would have been December 2007.
Yes.
And then we were back in September 2008.
Yes.
And now we're going to be back in March 2009. We're doing another show, and this is chili soup and stew, and we are still looking for recipes from folks who would like to send in a recipe, and then we'll include that. We'll take all the recipes and we'll make up a little cookbook that we'll offer to folks. And then if you've seen the other shows, what we've done is we've asked some of the people who submitted recipes if they would like to come down to the studio and do a little demonstration with us live there on TV to kind of talk a little bit about the recipe and show us how it's done. So we're going to be doing that again. The program, it will air. It'll be another live show. It'll be on in March. But in the meantime, we're looking for recipes. So if you have a good recipe for chili, soup, or stew, we have extended the submission deadline to January 23rd. So there's time, but we hope that if you have a good recipe that you will send it in. You can send it to Chili Soups and Stews, WILL TV, 300 North Goodwin Avenue in Urbana, Illinois, 61801. And if you want to get more information, you can go to our website. And for that, go to the new one. Go to WILL, W-I-L-L, will.illinois.edu. And here this morning, if you have a good, a congealed salad, maybe you call it Jell-O salad, whatever you want to call it. That's what Doyle said he wanted to hear about this morning. 333-9455. Toll free, 800-222-9455. And next we'll talk with someone in Urbana. This is line one. Hello.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
I had was served a nice congealed salad, if you it wasn't called that. I don't know what it was called. It was a traditional family recipe that the mother of a brother-in-law would serve. And it's molded in a Christmas tree cake mold.
Oh, yes.
And I don't have the exact recipe, but he says that it had lime jello and cream cheese and whipped cream. I would just put something else in, like yogurt, instead
yes.
of those two things. So I didn't get the recipe because it seemed pretty fattening, but it had pecans and chopped celery. And I can't remember if it had cherries, but it was very festive and looked really pretty. For a holiday sort of thing. Of course, you could make it in some other time without the Christmas tree decoration.
Well, that
cake pan, but that was part of the presentation and part of the tradition in this particular family.
So you had red and green and white in the lime jello.
Well, apparently you're not supposed to be able to see chunks of white. I don't know how she would have gotten rid of the chunks of the cream cheese.
Mm.
It was considered a failure on her part. If you could see chunks of white in it.
Hmm.
But I think I would just mix in some yogurt. I don't know what proportions one would use to have it come out right. I'm sorry I don't have a better idea, but I liked the colorful combination.
Well, you know, you're really talking about a folk process, and much of it is your own experimentation. And when you are looking for specific measurements and such, they almost don't exist. They're kind of there. It generally sort of becomes some. You know, you put some of this in and some of that. And I don't want to say it's just to your taste, but it is to your liking. And so what you do is you experiment. I know these things grew. They did not just start full force. They sort of grew and, this will be nice to add that. There are a lot of similarities, and then there are these secret little differences.
Well, there must be some range of proportions of the yogurt, cream cheese, whipped cream kind of thing that you can add to Jell-O.
Well,
beyond which it would just fall apart.
Well, what you do then is that you double the Jell-O. You double the Jell-O.
You don't necessarily know that until after.
Well, that's what I mean. It grows, and you learn how to do that. There isn't really there. If the gelatin isn't strong enough to carry all this, then you add more gelatin, and it makes it stronger. I have a story about that. Maybe I'll tell.
Well, and there's another recipe in the family that's it's a dessert, and it uses evaporated skim milk.
Oh, yes.
Originally, it would have used regular evaporated milk. And you whip it, you put it the can in the refrigerator until it's very cold.
Mm.
And then you whip it with sugar, and it whips up to be like whipped cream.
Oh, yes.
But it's much lower in fat. Of course, you've added the sugar, which I suppose you might be adding if you whipped up whipped cream. But then you mix it in with gelatin, Jell-O that's about ready to congeal, but not quite.
But not quite, yes.
Yeah. So there's another way to add in the light color to that. But it's not a salad, that's a dessert. Okay.
That's the dessert. So it's the whipped cream and the sugar. Yes, it goes in.
The whipped
evaporated milk and sugar.
And it has to be very, very cold for it to
I don't think I've ever tried to do whipped evaporated milk.
Yeah.
I will.
But it has to be cold. Well, I'll get that recipe for you and send it to you.
Good, thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. We'll continue. Let's talk next with somebody in Whiteheath on our line two here. Hello.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to add just the Southern perspective to the conversation.
Yes.
I grew up in South Carolina, and the congealed salad is alive and well.
Oh, good.
I'm looking at my Providence United Methodist cookbook from Holly Hill, South Carolina.
Perfect.
No less than 15 congealed.
Perfect.
Salads. And my favorite congealed salads are the ones that served as vegetables. You know, so they were based on actual Jell-O instead of the clear gelatin.
Yes.
But it was totally disguised, and the best job at disguising the sweetness was the use of horseradish.
Oh yes, the horseradish, and I have a good recipe for horseradish. Yeah.
So I can't share any of these because the ladies down there in Holly Hill would be upset. You know, your congealed salad recipe is a well-kept secret.
See, you're absolutely right. You're telling the right things. It is personal, and no one steps in your territory. You're right.
That's right. That's right. So I'm enjoying the program. I just thought I'd put in a Southern perspective.
Well, that's very, very good, and it's exactly right on time. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. And I guess that, again, that reinforces this idea that we may be talking about two different things, or people are thinking about two different things. There are Jell-O salads that are intended for dessert, but then there are these other things that are, as the caller said, that they're like a vegetable dish.
Exactly. Well, that's what we had at Christmas time. It was really an accompaniment, some sort of almost like, well, it wasn't really like a conserve, but it was not mysterious. It was just, oh my gosh, that is so good. I think it was cranberries and chopped. Red cabbage was in this one that I'm responding to.
So there were. It's almost like a relish.
Kind of. That's what I've been trying to say. Yes, it was like a relish that holds together.
That's stuck together.
A congealed relish. Exactly. Absolutely. And you see, that's a totally different use of something. And I was just so delighted.
Well, let's talk with someone in Urbana, line three.
Hi, I'm back to the sweet side.
Yes.
We have a recipe called eggnog ring salad, which has become sort of a tradition for our Christmas Eve dinner, which is a smorgasbord with Swedish meatballs and all the rest. And it is a package of lemon jello dissolved in a cup of boiling water. And then you add a quarter of a cup of cold water and a quarter of a teaspoon of rum extract.
Rum extract, yeah.
Yeah. Then you measure 3/4 of a cup of this liquid, and you add another 3/4 of a cup of eggnog.
Okay.
And then you pour that into the ring mold, and you chill it until it's, you know, sort of firm but not completely set. And then in the meantime, you take a can of pear halves, and you drain the fruit, saving 3/4 of a cup of the juice,
mm-hmm.
and you dissolve one package of raspberry jello in a cup of boiling
water. Oh, we're going to do two, yes, raspberry jello.
Yeah, and then you add the juice that you drained from the fruit, and you chill this until it's a little thickened. Add the cut-up pears, and then you spoon this over the eggnog.
Oh, my.
And chill the entire thing. So it comes out as a two-layer salad.
A two-layer salad.
Eggnog flavor on the top, and then the raspberry
and pears on the bottom.
And it looks very pretty.
I'll bet that was very pretty. A nice little Christmas wreath.
Right.
That's nice. Oh, I like that. Eggnog and pear halves and raspberry jello. Now, that's stretching it. I like it.
Yeah, it's a fun recipe.
That's really good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, well, thank Bye-bye. You. And we'll go on again here. Let's talk with somebody in Savoy, line 4. Hello.
Hi. I am from Idaho, which is next to Utah, who claims to be the Jell-O capital.
Right.
And I think it might be because that's where the headquarters for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is. Nicknamed the Mormons.
Yes.
And in our hymn book, there's a song that says there's a multitude of children all around. And the Mormons are known for having big families.
Oh, yes.
And a little bit of jello goes a very long way.
I'm not quite certain why they sort of took that on, but I believe you might be right, because it was a wonderful object. It becomes an entity. I mean, here you've got this stuff that is nothing, and you add water to it and soak it up and do this and that and that and this, and you all of a sudden have a magnificent object of some sort. And children would do. I remember enjoying it very much.
Well, there's a spectacular recipe. I would have to send it in, but it's called pretzel jello salad.
Oh, good, yes.
So you start out with the pretzels,
yes,
and butter and sugar, and you crumble the pretzels very fine, and you bake that, so that's your crust. You let it cool.
Oh, that's going to be the crust, yeah.
That's the crust, and then you have a layer of either strawberry, or I love raspberry. So I do raspberry jello with raspberries, real raspberries.
Yes.
So that's the next layer. And then there's a layer of cream cheese mixed with sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put the cream cheese first right on top of the crust, and then you put the layer of raspberry jello with the raspberries mixed in on top of that. And then you can top it up with whipped cream or something if you'd like, Cool Whip. But that is just a wonderful, it could be a dessert or a side dish.
That's neat. Now, it's a crumb crust that you've stuck together with butter and sugar, mm-hmm. and then added the cream cheese and then the jello with raspberries on top. That sounds
right.
Pretty thorough.
But the interesting thing is the little bit of salt in the pretzels.
Oh, yes.
Combined with the sweet. And
yes.
The raspberries are a little sour. It's just a wonderful taste. But the jello I grew up with was just crushed pineapple. You drain it. You mix in cottage cheese. You grab any kind of jello that happens to be on the shelf.
Exactly.
And then you just chill it in the fridge until it's set up, and that's
pineapple and cottage cheese. I think that's where it sort of started. I think you're quite right.
Throw it all together.
And put it all together. That's good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. We have somebody else here ready to go. Let me just mention here we have about 10 minutes left in the Sparta Focus 580. It's the first Wednesday, and it has been for a long time our great pleasure on the first Wednesday to talk about food. And with this guy, and we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. Let me point out, by the way, it's purely an honorary title. He stops by here, and he picks the topic and says, well, let's talk about this. And then what happens is that people call in and they tell stories about that dish, and maybe they talk a little bit about their family food traditions, and sometimes people share recipes. And it's always a good time. And this time around, he said he wanted to talk about congealed salads because I think he'd said it at a recent gathering. He had one, and he thought, now, this is pretty good. Why don't we do this anymore? It was the kind of thing that seems like maybe it was would have been popular in an earlier day, and that, you know, how it is with food. We have something for a long time, and then we'd say, oh, that's old-fashioned, or we need something new, or, you know, whatever. And then that goes away until sometime later. We say, you know, whatever happened to, or someone discovers it and they say, oh, this is a great new thing I've discovered.
Yes.
Except, of course, often it's not a new thing. We're bringing back something that people would know about. Anyway, he said, you know, congealed salad, or maybe you call that Jell-O salad. I think the idea was, though, that we're separating the sweet things that are actually intended as a dessert from things that are maybe a little bit more savory and would actually be served as like a vegetable. So that's the thing. If you have a recipe to share, that'd be great. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. And Champagne is the next caller here, line one. Hello.
Yeah, good morning. Mm-hmm. First, I have a short story about Jell-O salads in the mid-60s. Right before I got married and joined this group, there was a young couple's potluck in the Ann Arbor Friends meeting. And the story was there were four couples, and this is the only time I've known a Quaker potluck not to work. All four of them turned up with Jell-O salad. I guess they got along.
Well, there would have been a variety. Oh, isn't that...
Yeah, no doubt they weren't the same, but...
No.
That's the only failed, you know... where there wasn't a big enough end to have variety. So, but I have a recipe. It's a dessert. It's called No-Bake Cheesecake, and I got it from the Champaign-Urbana Courier in 1977.
Oh, yes.
When I first moved here. And it uses whipped milk, and it was originally a Milnot recipe.
Oh, yes, uh-huh.
Which took evaporated milk and took out the valuable butter fat and put in vegetable fat, vegetable oil. And you could whip that, but I don't seem to have the recipe for whipping that because what I've done instead is I have a recipe for whipping powdered milk.
Oh, I see, yes.
That I use instead, and that's no fat. And I can give you the recipe for whipping that. You, as the previous caller said, you have to have it very cold water.
Cold water, yes.
And it takes a half a cup of cold water, and then this one asks for the juice of half a lemon.
Lemon juice,
I don't
yes.
think you necessarily need that. I've got 2 tablespoons, question mark. 3/4 cup dry milk powder, 2 tablespoons sugar. I use vanilla sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And then you chill the water in the refrigerator. You add the lemon juice if you're adding that. Then you sprinkle the milk powder over the liquid and beat well.
Hmm.
Then it won't get hard at that point, but you chill it in the freezer. And when it's chilled but not frozen, you take it back out, add your 2 tablespoons of sugar, and whip it.
And whip it again, yes.
Thick. And then you can flavor it, especially if you haven't added the lemon juice, with cocoa, cinnamon,
nutmeg,
or ginger, which you can beat in to taste. So do you want the recipe for the cheesecake, or is that too...
No, keep going.
...decadent for today?
No, it's fine.
It's sweet. Okay, uses 1 3-ounce package of limoncello. You can do it with lime or orange as well, or instead. 1 cup of boiling water. 8 to 9 ounces of light cream cheese. Now, the reason I said 9 ounces is because when this recipe came out, it called for 3 3-ounce packages.
And oh, yes.
Do them no more.
Yes.
So I use an 8-ounce package, which is perfectly fine.
Sure.
Then half a cup of sugar and a teaspoon vanilla, or I use half vanilla sugar and half regular sugar. Vanilla sugar, just my mother was from Switzerland, so this is
you always had that, yes.
Right. She just took a jar, and she had a bean in there, and I do this also. I have an ex-peanut butter jar, and I fill it with sugar, and I stick the vanilla bean down in it. And you can keep adding the sugar to it almost indefinitely, and it takes on the flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nice for people who are sensitive to gluten, if you know, because it's not vanilla and grain alcohol.
Oh, yes.
Okay, and then the whipped milk and then graham cracker crumbs. You can use a crust. This calls for 3 cups of crumbs and a half a cup of butter or margarine melted. I've taken to just lining an 8x8 Tupperware container with plain graham crackers. Skip the butter.
Oh, uh-huh.
So to make it a more a less caloric dessert. So you dissolve the Jell-O in the boiling water. You chill it slightly. Now the trick is you can't let it get too thick.
That's right. You have to watch this.
So you've got to watch it, because if it gets too thick, then you got little chunkies. And you want kind of a syrupy kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then you cream with the cream cheese, the Jell-O, the cream. No, you cream the cream cheese, sugar, and vanilla. Then you add the thickened Jell-O and blend. And then you fold in your whipped milk.
Okay, yes.
And then pour over whatever you're using as a crust. And put it in the fridge.
No-bake cheesecake.
Yeah.
That sounds good. I like that.
It's very delicious. And it's not that caloric. You can even use, I've done it with diet Jell-O.
Oh, yeah.
And with no fat cream cheese, and that works.
Well, that sounds like something to try. I like it.
No-bake
cheesecake. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
We'll try and get, we have a couple more people trying to get both. Spring Bay is next. This is line 4. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I heard part of the beginning of the show where you were talking about how old Jell-O salads were.
Yes.
How long they've been around. So I got out my oldest cookbook, Hood's Practical Cook's Book, copyrighted 1897.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And there's about 10 Jell-O salad recipes in here.
They started right out with Jell-O salads.
They did, yeah. The gelatin that they use, I don't know, it's a box. They talk about soaking it in water and then pouring the water off.
Now, you see, that could have been, the Europeans made the gelatin in sheets.
But they talk about a box in here, so I don't know.
Oh.
If it came, you know, I thought maybe the sheet gelatin, maybe that was put in boxes, I don't know. But it's been around a while. People have been making sweet salads out of it for a long, long time.
I think that's good. 1890s, good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Bye.
Well, we'll go one more here, and that would be someone in Terre Haute. Line number 2. Hello.
Hi, this is Mary from Terre Haute, Indiana. The gentleman that called in about his aspic salad just brought back memories, and I rushed to my...
Oh, good, yes.
I rushed to my file and pulled out my mother's very wonderful recipe of corned beef aspic salad.
Oh, my.
It's almost exactly like the aspic that he described, except that you add 1/2 to 1 cup of canned corned beef.
Do you chop it up, or what do you do?
Yes, you just kind of break it up. You use 1 envelope of Knox gelatin.
Mm-hmm.
You do dissolve that in cold water and then in hot tomato juice.
Hot tomato juice, yes.
1 1/2 cups of hot tomato juice after the 1/4 cup cold water. Then the ingredients are pretty much the same. You combine 1 cup of mayonnaise, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, a teaspoon of lemon juice, a tablespoon or more of minced onion, and add 3 hard-boiled chopped eggs.
Oh, okay.
So that this makes a very wonderful luncheon salad. You also add the 1.5 cups of chopped celery.
Yes.
And then stir in the corned beef. It is a light pink, very dressy luncheon salad, and you can pour it into a 1.5 quart mold or just a 13x9 pan and cut it in squares. So that was a fun memory for me to run.
That's good for you.
I entered her recipe in a cooking contest at one point and won.
Oh, my.
On her recipe.
I don't think I've ever heard of putting corned beef in. I like that very much.
It's just delicious.
That's
And I looked also at another one of her recipes for a horseradish relish mold because you were talking
about... Oh, yes. That's rare. Yes.
Horseradish in the lemon jello. And so it's been fun to listen to your program this morning.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks very much. Well, now, just for the record, as they say here, I'm at Wikipedia, font of all knowledge, and looking up here at some information about Jell-O. And what it says is that gelatin had been used for a long time. It became very popular in the Victorian era. The problem was that gelatin, it says it was sold in sheets and it had to be purified, whatever that means, which took a lot of time. The first patent for powdered gelatin was issued in 1845.
Oh, my.
And Jell-O, apparently a packaged gelatin product with that name on it, has been around since 1897. That's when Jell-O first came into existence.
All right, now we know.
So there you have it. Now you have the rest of the story.
You have congealed the information.
I have congealed the information. Yeah, I'm beginning to congeal myself. Well, we're almost to the point where we have to finish up. And is there sort of last thought you'd like to leave with us?
Well, I did want to get around to my quick story. When I was a houseboy at Alpha Chi Omega in Manhattan, Kansas, we wanted to make a special salad for Christmas, and I invented a salad made with, as I said, two bits of lime jello and fruit cocktail put in it, but I convinced them to put it in the cone-shaped paper cups that you then put into a glass and set that in the refrigerator. And when it was inverted, it was a nice little Christmas tree. That's when I didn't have anything else to do.
What year was this now?
Probably about 1952.
1952, okay. Well, I want to say thanks to all the folks who've called in to contribute the recipes. Well, as soon as we can get them transcribed, and we'll have them on the website. And in the meantime, if you're looking for Focus 580 recipes, you will have to go to our old website, but there's no problem with doing that. That's will.uiuc.edu. That's the old one. And also, let me mention once again that we're going to, as I said a little earlier, we're going to do another cooking show in March on WILL-TV, another live program. This will be our third.
I got my recipe in.
He will be doing his mother's chili, which we have talked about here before on the program. And the theme here, chili soups and stews. If you have good recipes for one of those things, please send it to us. Send it to Chili Soups and Stews, WILL-TV, 300 North Goodwin in Urbana. The zip is 61801, and we'll put them together in a book, and we'll invite some people on the show. And if you want to get more information on that, you can go to the new website. That's will.illinois.edu. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
For being here.